Welcome to the Founder Source Podcast. This is a daily podcast by me, Mashiru Mudau, and Ububele Bukopo. We use this podcast really to shed light, to learn, to understand, to explore, to go on adventures around entrepreneurship, small business, and startups. What we're really trying to use this platform for is to create a really great dialogue between ourselves and also key stakeholders in the entrepreneurship ecosystem, right? So this can be ecosystem players, research organizations, incubators, accelerators, anything and everything that has to do with entrepreneurship is what we care about. Currently, the thing that's really been dominating everything we've been speaking about is the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. But also, more than that, the reaction that the South African government has had in response to it. It's been a, I think this is the first week, this is the first Monday of lockdown, and it's been an interesting few days. I think we're on day four, technically. Ubele, am I wrong?
Day four, essentially.
Day four.
But it might be just 21 working days, and we might just be a couple of days behind.
Oh, man.
I'm joking. It's day four.
Yeah, but listening to the president, it really sounds like this is something that's going to be extended. At least 30 days, possibly even 40.
Yeah, his current rhetoric is around, he doesn't put a time towards it, but I think his general thoughts is that it might be a bit longer, even by a week or so. But it all depends on how rapidly the government increases testing, as well as the likelihood of the recovery of certain people that have been tested 14 days ago. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think the one thing that I keep thinking about around this is just how the numbers you get on a daily basis really don't represent the reality of the numbers as they are. Right, yeah. So you've got the lag between testing, the lag between results being gotten, the lag between getting those results being reported to the right parties. I think the data is so far behind that you actually can't measure this in the most direct sense.
Yeah, we like on an information basis, we're probably living 3 to 4 days behind, meaning that the results that we get today. Not is essentially a representation of the current situation. They're a representation of what happened Friday, you know, Thursday, Friday. So what's happening now, or the testing that is done now, is only going to reflect what's going to happen in 4 days' time. But on that point, like, what the government can do is just ramp up testing, right? Like, that's the only way that we can get to a point of being comfortable. So what South Korea did is that before they opened up or slightly opened up the economy is that they tested 0.5% of their population, like 250,000 to 270,000 people, which is essentially 0.5% of their whole total population. So if we can also get to around that number of testing, then we could have a level of confidence that, okay, no, the bad days are behind us.
Yeah. How would you say you're feeling or doing right now during lockdown? Day four?
Well, to me, it's not day four. This is my third week of working from home.
I mean, it is our third week. Yeah. I keep thinking about that. Is before the president had said, look, guys, you need to stay at home. We're already at home and we're already for a week. Already at home, and then that second week came, and now it's this week, and it doesn't feel real to a lot of people that this is the reality that, you know, they have to be in. I'm seeing a lot of Twitter conversations revolving around, you know, can we take a break midway or something like that? Can we please, you know, stock up on alcohol at a certain point? And like, I don't know if it's an indicator of a society that really needs this time. Like, that's the thing I keep thinking about, is like, maybe we really needed this, like, emotionally, psychologically, economically. This is going to be a massive shift in us.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we are a consumption society. Like, we consume everything, right? maybe this will help us shift our mindsets towards, you know, looking at what's really missing in the country and just focusing on being a productive country and producing the resources that we actually need, instead of, hey man, I miss such and such, you know, I miss such and such. You know, maybe we can shift our mindset towards, okay, let's see what we can produce on our own, and let's see what we can leverage to, you know, move our country forward in this dire circumstances. Because we, like, South Africa has been compounded with not just the COVID-19 situation and the lockdown, but also the downgrade in our investment grade by Moody's. So we do have a country to fix after all of this, but this is a well-needed break, like you say.
Yeah. So what's your assessment of that as well? You know, like, this takes us below investment grade rating. What does it mean economically, practically, for small businesses, entrepreneurs, the man on the ground? Like, how does this impact people? Because I always think about movies like, what's it called?
Which one?
The movie on the 2009 crisis. With Ryan Gosling and all those guys.
The movie by Michael Lewis, the book.
Yeah, so
The Big Short.
Yeah. And throughout the movie, he goes through this process of explaining certain things, because that's how the sort of financial markets really operate, is this obscurity and not really being transparent about what they mean. And I always think about ratings, you know, grading and all of that. I don't think laymen understand what that means. Even me, you know, I really want to understand how it affects me in my daily life. Will I see this next time I go to a small business to buy something? Will that impact of a ratings downgrade even matter? I just want to understand from your perspective, like, what does it actually mean?
Well, it has a bigger impact on the macro environment of the country, not necessarily on micro consumption. So you won't necessarily have a personal feeling on it if you go to the shop. Yes, supply chains are still open. We can still buy resources from outside the world. You can still get the ordinary things that you can get. But now South Africa is in a dire state where we're not able to borrow money from the people that we can borrow money from. Now we have to look for other avenues to actually get foreign investment into the country. And what the Treasury Department is looking at is probably a bailout from the IMF or the World Bank, which comes with stringent policies to attached towards it. So we'll probably see, if we do go that route, we'll probably see certain criteria being placed on the government to actually buckle down and, you know, trim the wage bill, which is ordinary government individuals, cut down on consumption spending, cut down on bailing out SOEs. But on the general individual, doesn't have that big of an impact. But like, going back to The Big Short, there's a scene there by Timothy Geithner, the other guy, the other short guy with the black hair. If you watch the movie, you probably know him. So he was jogging through New York City and he stopped to make a phone call to say, hey man, ordinary people don't understand what's about to hit them, right?
Yeah.
Ordinary people are just walking down the street. They don't know the impact of this thing. And the impact of that situation was most people in America that had homes lost their homes. You can see that scene where the guy said he's been paying his rent to his landlord and his landlord has not been paying the mortgage. So what happens to him? At the end of the movie, the guy is in a car moving his family across the country. But, you know, things will become tighter in terms of money-wise, but as an ordinary civilian, you won't feel it if you're not in those particular government departments, or just like, it will be day-to-day normality for most people.
So, you know, when we really were thinking about doing this episode, the one thing I said we really need to talk about is the winners and losers from this crisis, from this current environment and climate. What do you see as being the winners right now?
Yeah, but before
this is obviously a post lockdown assessment.
I want to put a disclaimer, Bash, that this podcast is done with the utmost empathy, and we're not just trashing people for the sake of trashing people and calling them losers or whatever.
When have we ever called any, we don't do that. To be honest, I think this is objective assessment, right? Which is something is lacking in South African media, I feel. It's like, no one wants to have an honest dialogue. I want to have an honest dialogue. We're not saying, you know, these people have done badly, but there's a reality where there will be losses, there will be losers, or, you know, losses made by certain organizations, mainly because of the environment. It's not necessarily that we feel that they're not doing enough, or they might not be, you know, good enough or anything like that. It's just an assessment of the reality of the environment that we exist in.
Yeah, which is true, and I can't fault you on that. Yeah. But yeah, let's just get it on with.
Let's start with yours, man.
Sure, man. My win is obviously the government. The way they have handled the situation is impeccable, right? You know, not many governments out there had the praises that we're currently having, or, you know, in the manner that the government has handled it, right? The situation is quite dire in other countries, and we have, what, over 1,200 people that have it and only 2 deaths. You know, that's commendable in the manner that they've approached the situation. Plus, now with the Moody's downgrade, as you said, you know, they'll need to put in measures now that they've given themselves time to actually do that, to fix our economy afterwards, right? That's number one. I only have like 4. Number 2, supermarkets. Oh, those bastards. I'm sorry. Oh, I am sorry. Oh, those bastards. So, like,
my thing is, like, no one's talking about, you have literally manufactured a monopoly, and you've made it so obvious that, look, there's only 4 stores, and those 4 stores are the only ones that can sell you food at this time. I'm looking forward to the day they announce their revenue numbers for the year, and you look at March, April, or February, March, and all you see is this massive spike that's higher than Black Friday.
Yeah, like this current oligopoly that's supermarkets is just insane, bro. And I'm going to touch on 3 aspects of what makes it incredible, right? So, essentially, people can only shop at 4 stores, right? That's where you can shop, and nothing else is open.
Literally, yeah, that's it.
You go to 4 stores. Okay, those numbers are going to be insane. Woolworths Food makes up 32% of the whole revenue of the Woolworths Group. Now it's going to be probably even more. You know, on the second, like, currently they control the circulation of money in South Africa. Let me tell you why. So, supermarkets in South Africa disperse 1/3 of the government grants in South Africa, right? So, in totality, government grants on a yearly basis make up 175 billion. That is essentially, what, 14.5 billion every month? And supermarket stores have 1/3 of that, right? So what happened? So today was day one of government grants disbursement, and what happened is that they had a dedicated time slot for when they're going to disperse it, right? So you go in, you either go to a money market and you take your money from there, or you can take it directly from the till. After that, people are encouraged to shop in store to get their essential goods. So now you give people,
you're taking money out, and then you have to put it back into the store.
Yeah, and you put it back into the store.
Okay.
And number 3 on that point, Mash, is what happens is that now they also have a remittance section where you can send money to your relatives in the store, which they charge you a 10 rand fee for every transfer you make. So what's going to happen is that people are going to stay in store, get their money, shop, and then send a portion of it to whoever they want to send it to whilst making the supermarket, like, money. So essentially, supermarkets are our banks. You know, they give us our food, and, you know, they circulate money. That's, to me, that is quite insane. They are a winner, like. Like, who's that guy, Raymond Ackerman? His family will be rich forever.
Yeah, I think there's a few families that are going to be rich forever. And it's been exposed by this crisis. It's like the concentration of power, the concentration of wealth, the inequality in South Africa. And like, while we're talking about winners, to be honest, like, I just don't see any winners when it comes to how the inequality is like now really starting to show, where people are going, wait.
Yep.
How did we go on like this for this long? Because now only people are, it's in their faces, right? Before it's right like, there, oh no, right? You're in the office with someone, you don't know how they got to the office. They've been up for 5 hours, it's 9 o'clock, they, you know, left home at 3 a.m., had to catch a bus, a taxi, and a train. And when they get to the office, they try and perform exactly at the same level as you are, whereas you live, you know, 15 minutes away from work, and you're driving to work. It takes you 5 minutes, you get there, and you're fresh, whatever. And it's the same with this, where, you know, last week you had massive scores of people panic buying, and then all the retailers did the most unethical thing, which is, you know what, let's hike up the prices. And then they hiked up the prices on the week where everyone else was shopping, which was the majority of the country. So these are the people that get the grants, people that earn way less. And they're walking into the store, the prices are much higher, which really, you know, completely disadvantages most of them. And it's crazy how this crisis has really, really shown the depth of inequality in our country and how deeply entrenched that inequality is.
Yeah, like people, like most people can't live on the single government grant, right? They have side hustles that they do. They sell, you know, you have your hawker ladies, right? They were not allowed to make money this weekend, so getting this grant is imperative for them. And, you know, just touching on the situation, inequality is one of my losers, in fact. is one of my losers. But then, moving on to the flip side of, okay, we talked about supermarkets. My other winner is online stores and online shopping. So when everything opens again, people are used to buying their stuff online. I'm sure most people are ordering or pre-ordering things because there's discounts now. And when the economy opens again on the 16th of April, that's the 16th of April, you know, they're going to get their stuff. So people are relatively comfortable with doing online shopping. And, you know, with that trust factor, there will be a boom in online shopping, which is already growing at 20 to 35% in a year. So there's a big, big market for online shopping in South Africa. And that's thanks to, you know, no thanks to the grocery startups, but thanks to companies like, I know there's a company in Cape Town called Faithful by Nature that sells, you know, those organic things, a world where most, like, the affluent people shop for, like, you know, your pet food, your organic lotions, your organic whatnot. Like, they've actually done super well in this economy, right? So thanks to those type of businesses that most of us doing e-commerce will benefit when the economy opens again. Yeah. Fourth one, Mash, just before I move over to you, is technology startups, right? So technology as the backbone of all of this, like, the government has seen, or most South Africans have seen, the impact that innovative technologies can have on a society. And this will be a driving factor of how do we go from this current situation of, you know, our economy is in a rut, you know, health-wise, we're not capable of meeting. How can innovative technologies tackle these certain things that we have? Because now what happens is that our problems have been amplified to, like, the magnitude of our problem is, like, so huge that people can actually see what we're struggling with. Then how can innovation come into it? And then with that, like, funding will come into that in the tech sector, and that will obviously prepare us to, like, greater heights. What are your winners? Like, those are my winners. I had four. What are yours?
Cool. So mine is going to be an unfortunate cliche, but I think the entrepreneurs are going to be the winners, right? That's the first and foremost. because there's so much uncertainty, there's so much, and there's so much opportunity in uncertainty. And that's the thing, is like, people are navigating differently. You're seeing consumers change overnight. You're seeing business models being completely broken down overnight. You know, you look at stuff like cloud kitchens, and I know you're obsessed with this, but like, I foresee a situation where they say, you know, okay, guys, the lockdown is done, but we still need you guys to restrict movement. We're going to allow the delivery vehicles back on the road.
And that's going to be super important, Mash. Like,
exactly. They're going to go, you know,
like getting your food into the hands of your customers post this is going to be so difficult for like walking restaurants where people need to sit down. They'll have to find a way to navigate those muddy waters. And like Uber Eats exists, like it takes about on average three to four days to get on Uber Eats. All right, there's two fees that you pay a setup fee and you pay like fee per transaction or per order. But besides that, it's fairly simple. You know, most restaurants would have laid off their staff, so they're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna start off with a lot of people coming back. They would want to start off with, you know, like a little bit of revenue coming in with limiting their costs until they grow. And those platforms like Uber Eats and Mr. D and Order In are going to be important for these restaurants moving forward.
Exactly. So I see that being number one, right? So so I want to break down the entrepreneurs thing. So it goes down from technology startups to traditional to whatever. The thing that I'm constantly thinking about now is like, how do you help as many small businesses start to understand the value and importance of digital? And that's through content, that's through educational, you know, experiences, whatever it is. Start communicating these things, and I foresee a big surge, and it's already happening in dribs and drabs of, you know, these digital agencies completely focused on small businesses and enabling them to navigate digital in a more efficient and effective way to grow their businesses, right? So I foresee someone going to a restaurant, you know, just a, hole in the wall pizza place, like say Urban Browser and Parkhurst, and going, you know, they already have everything, but let's say, for example, they didn't. Someone going there and going, hey, look, you guys are at risk, because if, you know, something like that would ever have to happen again, it might be a problem. Yeah. Do you guys want us to help you set up for Uber Eats and Mr. D and all these other services?
Yeah.
And then they're going, okay, do you want us to help you put out Facebook ads and Instagram ads and Google ads and all these different tracking mechanisms that sort of digital startups use? So, you know, it's very common for a tech or an app or a technology solution to be using Google AdWords and Facebook ads and all these different things. But it's so less common with small businesses where they're going, you know, we're here, we've told everyone we know, we're hoping something happens. I think you're going to see a massive shift in that behavior where people are going, you know, maybe the startups have a plan, and you know, you're going to start seeing a lot more growth marketing coming through. Growth marketing, a lot more digital marketing, a lot more creativity in that as well. So I see a win for a lot of creatives in this as well, where brands and small businesses are going to decide that they need to become more brand conscious, right? What is the story we're telling? Who are we targeting? How do we want to speak to them? What's the experience we want to create?
And that's the most important part, right, Mash? Understanding who your customer is, right? Like there's ample tools on foundersource.com, but now it's just about, okay, how do we apply these tools to our businesses? Which ones are relevant to us? Which ones are not relevant to us? And how do we sort of create like a playbook with all these tools which will be relevant for our business moving forward? And I think, you know, like if people want to get into touch, I'm sure me and you are happy to like help them navigate those situations.
Yeah, so I definitely see that as being an opportunity. Also, is like entrepreneurs need to learn about who their customer is post lockdown. Whoever you were serving before might have changed the way they navigate the world. I don't see myself going to malls as much I don't see myself eating out as much. Small things are starting to change where, you know, I'm happy to cook three times a day. I'm okay with, you know, I start caring about stuff like what's the, you know, how organic is the food that I'm eating, because I care about how much I'm going to eat it because I'm cooking all the time now. I'm more conscious of how the food is prepared, the hygiene standards. And probably a lot of people are going to be thinking on this level. And if they are, it's a change in behavior and how people, how we view lifestyle, right? So if now my lifestyle is I want to stay at home as much as possible and only leave the house when it's necessary, because that's the habit that they're teaching us right now, right? So whether we agree or not, it's literally saying, look, do you actually need to be outside? Like when? Ever? Why? And
like the biggest one in this situation, Mash, would be, do you actually need fast food? Right? Like if your health is the most important thing to you, do you actually need to be eating McDonald's or KFC or whatnot? Like, how can you change your lifestyle? And it only takes 21 days to make a habit. And you have those 21 days to actually make a habit now.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that is going to impact a lot more things. And that's where I see more winners. So the entrepreneurs being one. So the entrepreneurs, I'm talking startups, small businesses, agencies, creatives, whatever you are. Yeah. What you need to do is invest yourself in understanding the way the world now works and plugging in where you can to create the best value that you can sell off to other people. But the second winner being, you know, the people that will win because of the habits that we now are taking on, right? So our psychology is changing. This is a reset button on humanity, on consumer behavior, on target markets, on all of it. And you need to think about in different aspects. Number one for me is like network usage, right? I blew through 20 gigs in 5 days. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is going on? I was like, oh, wait, I was always online now. It's not like before. So before I could take breaks, I could go to the office and I'm using the office Wi-Fi for about 8 hours. And then when I get home, it's already a bit late. So I'm using nighttime data. Whereas now I'm working on my own Wi-Fi the whole day. And then I'm just using it so much more, right? And it makes the case for something like unlimited data freaking crazy. So I foresee a big winner being the cell phone networks, but not just that, specifically Rain. If they could get their coverage to the way it really needs to be and where they can deliver at the best, right? And also get their customer service where it needs to be as well, because you always see those complaints just like, oh, I can't get connected. Hey, your coverage is not great, and those sorts of things. But if they could fix those two things, they come out of this as massive winners, right? And they made that power move of just putting in a SIM card in every single issue of the new Cosmopolitan magazine, which was that was a stroke of genius. I wish it came a week earlier, because then people would have been in the store to get the magazine. But those people that did get it, you know, you get a free SIM card, you get unlimited data for 7 days, and then you can start using it. I think that's such a smart move in terms of adoption, in terms of really getting people onto this and understanding what it is. I apologize that this sounds like an ad.
Number it is one not, on that, like Ray needs to start giving us money for ads. Ray needs to start giving us money for ads.
I agree.
Mom actually bought two Cosmopolitans.
Oh, man.
And she absolutely loves it. Like, it's in the Eastern Cape, in the town like King Williamstown, and they do have coverage there. Number three, if you're looking for a job at Rain, I know they're looking for strategy analysts, Mash. You'll fit in right in there.
But yeah, they need to cut the check.
Cool.
Another one that is a winner from this change in habits and thinking, and just is anything that operates online, whether it's the online stores, the online services such as Zuzi, where I'm ordering the food delivery stuff, all these different things that are online, I am going to go into, right? So whether it's online banking, anything that has to do with me moving, literally everything now, right? Because limiting my exposure to people is going to be a core tenet of how I live my life after this. And not going to the bank branch is going to be a big part of that. Not going to malls is going to be a big part of that. So now you're going to start seeing, I've never bought shoes online, but right now I could use a pair of sneakers, but I'm not going to the mall. So these sorts of things where our behaviors are changing, the way we think about the world, the way we navigate the world are changing. Those are the things I think are going to really breed the winners. So you can see winners such as, you know, all the online stores, Takealot, Superblist, other one? Zando, all these really big ones. But also I foresee a lot more of the smaller niche ones starting to get
the
bigger.
The niche ones are important, man.
Yeah, I think they're also going to get a bit bigger. I see them, you know, expanding a lot more, the growth and uptake. Because what's happening now is like there's this change in psychology going. The risk that used to make South Africans stop transacting online was the fact that they were afraid about the security, right? Whereas this time, the risk that you have to possibly lose your life seems so much more not worth it.
Mostly like with the online stuff, like most people like move and do the subscription play. So you do a subscription box and then people don't need to think about, you know, when they need to buy their product. You just deliver it to them once a month and you can get recurring revenue on that. And I think that's another important play on the online stuff.
Exactly. So I think anything that's operating online is going to be a great winner. And I don't think I have much else. It's those two for me. It's just like the entrepreneurs and the changes in behavior, which are going to influence who the winners are going to be of this. And I'm excited to see what that looks like. But at the same time, I'm very, very I'm very, very cautious around how people exploit those opportunities. And that's where I see the losers, right? So let me just get into mine quickly. I foresee the government becoming a loser, unfortunately.
What?
You know, it starts off as a winner. Right now, they've done incredibly well. I think the South African government has done a phenomenal job. And it's something that we don't say enough, mainly because, you know, we are the country that we are. We have the opinions that we have. I was critical of the president, you know, 30 minutes before he made his speech. I said, because the podium where he was taking the picture, right, was empty and he wasn't there. So I said, you know, no leadership, just vibes. And just vibes, right?
And that's a theme, bro. Like, people look content, just vibes.
Yeah, so I looked at that and I was like, you know, after he did his speech, all I could say was, Jesus, that's a really good job. That's okay. Let me see what else you can do. The next week, they did it again, where it's like, look, guys, this is not working. We're shutting it down. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I think right now the government is a great winner, right? Because they've done everything they possibly could do to try and contain this. Could we be more prepared? Probably. Could the shutdown be going much better? Definitely. Could the South African army be way more responsible? Probably. But these are things that are so minute that it's really not even the president's fault. These are things that are so, you know, something is bound to go wrong when you're trying to do something like this. And I think being president of any country is an impossible job, because just with South Africa, you're talking about 60 million people. How many differing opinions, different privileges, different disadvantages, all these different stories and narratives and people just fighting for so much. And the way I see this coming out as a loser in terms of the government is really from an economic perspective. I think it's going to be a massive bloodbath in terms of jobs, especially in the informal sector, whether even in the formal sector, same thing. You're going to see organizations go, look, guys, we did our best during the virus, but like the virus is over now and there's a reality we need to face.
Yeah.
And that reality is like we have to cut.
Yeah, especially if like you're talking about like the Edcon Group, they say they might not open when things go back to normal.
Yeah, right? I saw that. And
so now that's almost 50,000 jobs gone. And on that point, like, I can understand your economic play where the government might be a loser on the economy.
Yeah.
But, you know, currently they don't, there's no action plan, right? So, you know, we can't essentially judge them on not having a plan right now when they are in the process of making one. But yep. I can really understand where you're coming from at that point.
Yeah, look, they might have an ace up their sleeves, they might, you know, but I'm just looking at it from every angle. And before this happened, we were already in a very difficult place, right, economically, where the large businesses, you know, were hoarding cash for years and years, where they didn't want to reinvest in the economy and try and grow it, where you had small businesses struggling and the jobs were just not there. And I don't see in these extreme times, right, with the virus, with the lockdown, with the Moody's downgrade, and probably with the unemployment that's going to come straight after this, and the amount of cutting down and restructuring and this and that, you know, Edcon Group is a massive employer. Already you've got one massive, massive employer just going, look, guys, we can't do this anymore. We're going to start seeing a lot more of them. I think there's going to be a lot more announcements before this lockdown is done of small businesses or even large ones saying, look, guys, we've really thought about this and we've tried our best to find the best solution and there isn't one. This is an impossible situation and you're going to see a lot more of that. And people aren't going to see the companies and the organizations that are going, hey, guys, we can't do this. What they're going to see is, the South African government made a decision to shut down the economy effectively, and it led to a jobs bloodbath. The in-between is not going to tell anything. The narrative of the virus is not going to say anything. People are just going to go, the government did this, and it's led to this. And no one's going to go, hey, but you know, we were fighting a pandemic. This was spreading really fast. We have a vulnerable population of people with TB and HIV. People aren't going to mention all these things that were really, really celebrated right now. And we're going to listen to this podcast when it finally, you know, hits the fan and everyone's going, hey, man, where the fuck are the jobs? Where's the economy? Where's the business? Where's the money? We're going to listen back to this podcast and go, wait, but, you know, we should have had a perspective as well of going, you know, we're fighting a pandemic and we're doing this and we're doing that. But ultimately, I do think the government is going to be a massive loser at the end of this. But a second loser I see is people, right? But people in three senses. The first one being the people that are going to lose their jobs. I think that's going to be a massive, massive pain that's going to destroy many lives. And, you know, I'm sitting here going, you know, it's very, very hard for me to even think about what it means for me to lose my job or for someone in my family to lose my job. Because, you know, the South African typical stat is like one person is often feeding up to five people when they when they have a job. And when you think about something like that, I don't even feed five people. But if you think of a stat like that, you need to realize like the impact of one job being lost and the knock-on effect of that. And you're going to see a lot more people going into poverty because of what's happening right now, or the impact of what's happening right now. And it's not going to be, you know, anyone's fault. It's just going to be the reality of the reality. In terms of people, the second one being the entrepreneurs, creators, and small businesses who don't navigate this, that don't navigate this path the right way, right? And the painful thing is that we don't have a playbook. There is no roadmap. There's no plan here. No one knows what you should be doing right now.
And unfortunately, they also fall into the categories of being unemployed, and that's the dire circumstances of it. And most of them were employing people, so now one entrepreneur losing their job is compounded on a very high magnitude.
Exactly.
Yeah, I understand.
Exactly. So, you know, I think the painful thing is we can't tell you what you should be doing. You know, we did a podcast around tools that you could be using, but what those tools were was for managing this or trying to control it in some way. But in terms of navigating this, no one's been here before. You know, you're seeing very big organizations fumble this because no one actually knows what should be done. And you need to realize the reality of that it means that you need to create your own roadmap. You need to create your own solutions for this, and you need to find a way to build out the solutions and navigate this the best way that you possibly can, but still know that there's a possibility that you'll lose. And I'm not a doomsday sort of person, but I truly believe there'll be insane opportunities in this uncertainty, and that most entrepreneurs should really focus on doing that, is focus on doing the very best you can to find the opportunities in the industry that you're in the business that you're in, with the customers that you serve or the new customers that you probably will have after this, and really find the best way to navigate from that perspective. And then the last part of people that I think will probably lose mainly due to this is really the most important of all, which is the people that may or may not lose their lives due to this virus. And it's a really devastating thing to think about how this is being reduced to, you know, an economic thing or a business thing. At the end of the day, this is a pandemic that's genuinely killing lives, and we need to be conscious of why we're staying at home and why it matters and how much more we could be doing to advocate for people to be responsible, to self-isolate, to, you know, have really good hygiene standards in terms of washing their hands, and when you're in public spaces, being extremely safe and cautious. I think the reality is, if we put that above everything else, you start to really have a perspective around what this means and why it matters. And we really need to get there as soon as possible, and forget about everything else.
Man. I should not have done my losers lost. That was powerful statements, man. Like it's mainly powerful, right? Yeah. Did I mute myself? No, I wasn't talking. Sorry, man. Yeah, man. Just match that. That's like powerful statements, bro. Like.
Yeah.
What? No, I didn't stop my recording. It was a mistake. Okay. Mash, like what you're saying is really powerful. Sorry, let's go again, my aunt. She walked into the room. No, she's asking if I'm sleeping. Okay, let's go again. Like what you're saying right now, Mesh, is really powerful. Like, like the statements that you're putting forward is extremely important. You know, and the magnitude of this situation is really, really untenable. Like, people can't comprehend what effect it will have on society at large, because we've never really.
Okay, let's hear it.
Right. The only thing that we can talk about is what we are living through now, but we still need to put at the back of our minds the reality of the situation, that we still have lives post this. You know, like when you speak about, like, one of my losers is inequality. Like, inequality is a loser for me. Like, especially today with the like the criticism of people getting government grants and saying that, you know, the situation is going to get worse because people are still getting congregating in large crowds. Like, we don't truly have a cohesive plan for tackling poverty in South Africa. Like, that's to me the one of the most difficult part. Like, even when you go back to trying to fix the economy, we won't start at the ground roots, like fixing basic
needs
of people, housing, you know, adequate transport, feeding people.
You think commercial real estate as a loser?
We really need to go to the grassroots of the problem in South Africa, which is ultimately poverty, right? But that was really dire. I would like to end off like with two general losers where I feel, you know, won't end the podcast on a hot on a bad note. One or two of my losers is online grocery shopping. Like, Like, it's nah, man. Zuzi and OneCourt just dropped the ball in this situation. Like, when things go back to normal, people are going back to the store to buy.
That's a brutal assessment, but hey, man, I think this is a very honest podcast. We're trying to be honest and really be open about what's happening in the world. And we hope you appreciate this, but more than that, we hope you contribute to this. So if you ever want to speak about something, please send it to our Twitter account. It's Founders Source. So founders, like normal, and then source. As in tomato sauce, not a source of hope. even though we hope we will be what
deliveries didn't come about, you know. And my last one, just yes,
one word, one word. So go to Founders Source on Twitter, and yeah, let's have a conversation around the things we spoke about. But more than that, let's see where else we can go. I think it will be really, really impactful. If we had way more contributions from people outside of this, I mean, this is only our second week, but we intend on doing this for the long haul, and we hope to get way more engagement around what you guys are thinking as well, where you see the gaps being, and what you think really matters going forward. Ubele, it's been a good one. Thank you so much.
So commercial real estate will be all these co-working spaces, WeWork, whatnot, all of them. Like, it's done, bruh. That's it. Those things don't matter anymore. One word. Found the sources in one word. Mash, my brother, thank you. See you tomorrow.